future. Oh, morning star, you truly are everything. Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. As we go to your word now, we humble ourselves afresh. We ask for supernatural help and assistance, fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to back and to follow these words wherever they are heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things they hear and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving every blessing I mentioned therein in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, this afternoon I have a message that God's put in my heart for quite some time. And I believe it's the right time to give it today. And it's entitled, The Rivers of Prosperity. It's been a while. I preached this 13 years ago. It was, no, more than that, 17 years ago. I preached it first in 2002. But now there is fresh revelation, greater precision, and God is preparing us for the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God that the earth has ever seen. And it's going to take greater finances that we have ever seen in order to take this truth to the ends of the earth. Every tribe, tongue, and kindred must be discipled and have within them a group, sometimes 10, maybe 12, maybe 100, of people inside that group that will be a witness to their own people. And it's going to take a lot of resources to do this. And therefore, we have to have a fresh understanding and a clearer understanding of God's prosperity. Now, let's first of all, define what prosperity is. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible tells us that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Being financially rich and prosperous is a part of our covenant rights in Christ Jesus. Just like Jesus became sin so that we might be righteous, and Jesus became sick, by his stripes we were healed. He became sick on the cross. He carried our sicknesses and carried our pains so that we might be healed. In exactly the same way on the cross, he wasn't poor in his lifetime. He lived a good life. But, he on the cross, he stripped himself, you know, of all his glory. He was even stripped naked. He became poor that we might be rich. And it is one of our covenant rights, and there is a reason for it. We will see as I go along. Secondly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, the Bible says that, you know, God wants us to have, he's able, let's read this together, and God is able to make all grace. He didn't say some grace, he said all grace. I didn't hear you. Abound toward you, that you sometimes, occasionally, when you have a windfall, always having some sufficiency in some things to abound to a few good works. I deliberately read it like that to give you the emphasis. You have to be extremely rich for this to happen. Now, I know a lot of good people, philanthropists and all of that, who, you know, they sometimes have all sufficiency and they help some good works. But it is rare to find anybody that has enough resources, thank you for this amplified version, making all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be what? Self-sufficient. So you don't have to go to the bank. Hello? Hello? Even the richest, some of the richest men in the world, when they want to do something, they don't use their own money. They go to the bank and borrow money based on their assets, you know, because they don't want to risk their own money in a new venture. But if you're this rich, this is what the Bible actually means when it's talking about prosperity. Under all circumstances and whatever the need be what? I didn't hear you. Self-sufficient, possessing enough to require, I didn't hear you folks, no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and what? Charitable donation. It means that if anybody asks you for something, you always have something to give. There is never a time you get a request and you don't have something to give. Now, for you to do that, if you do that normally, and what you are giving out is more than what is coming in, you're going to get broke soon. Praise the Lord. But if what is coming in is so much that no matter how much you're giving out, what is coming in is exceeding what is going out, then you will see this level of prosperity. This level of prosperity, we haven't yet seen it in the church. Thank God for what we have so far. Thank God for God's blessings. We don't despise that they are small beginnings, but we're not there yet. And when I speak of the church, I speak of all of us. I'm talking about Pentecostals, Word of Faith, Catholic, you know, Anglican, Protestant. If you put all of us together, all our assets, all our resources, I'm talking about as institutions now, you know, I'm sure they amount to some billions, but it's still not where God wants it to be. And there's a reason for this. You know, there are reasons for this, which we will see as we go along. In order to understand this concept, I've entitled it Rivers of Prosperity using a type of the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, from verses 8 through 15, I'm not going to read all of it because of time, you know, we see God's description of the Garden of Eden. This was before Adam fell. It was such, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9. And out of the ground he made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. You know, it didn't rain. It didn't used to rain. That's why they didn't believe Noah. It was underground irrigation. God was bringing the water from the ground. But, you know, I don't want to get in all of that. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted into four heads. Let me just stop there. The Garden of Eden was so beautiful, they didn't lack anything. The temperature was right, the atmosphere was wonderful, the trees and all the beautiful things that God had made. Now, each of our lives individually is a type of the Garden of Eden after we get born again. And just like there are four rivers that watered Eden, God, in these end times, and even before now, but particularly now, have given us four streams of income. I call them the rivers of prosperity. And I'm going to tell you what they are. We'll expatiate on them later as I go on in the message. But very briefly, they are income. That is why God wants each and every one of us to have a job or something that we do. The Apostle Paul, writing about this both in Timothy as well as, I believe, in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he said that, you know, he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. It's in the Bible. That's one of the reasons why, you know, concepts like socialism and communism have failed. They have failed because it's again one of the tenets of God. He said, he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't help the poor. That doesn't mean we shouldn't help the poor and care for people. But, you know, you don't want to just let them all their lives be giving them handout. You want to empower them. You want to give them an education or give them a skill or a job or something that can earn and even gives them personal dignity. Rather than for you to go every day and somebody is giving you something, you know, which is not, there's nothing wrong in that, but you want to get to a place you yourself, after some time you can become productive. I'm going to veer off a little bit, not really veer off, but I'm just going to mention this in passing. This is something China has learned. When I was a young man in university, you know, this is 1976, I was still in my teen, I was 17 or 18, something like that. You know, Deng Xiaoping, the ruler of China at that time, paid a visit to America. It was a landmark. Richard Nixon had restored, you know, he visited China when Mao Zedong was still there, because for years, the China was isolated from the West because of communism and all of this. So, Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon made a bold move and said, look, let's reach out to these guys. And it's called, long story short, they did. And so, you know, bilateral relations were restored with China. So in 1976, under the presidentship of Jimmy Carter, Deng Xiaoping made a visit to America. And he liked what he saw. He saw prosperity. You know, and saw that the people in America lived a good life. There was pervading poverty in China. And there still is to some degree. But it's much better now than it ever used to be. You know, there was a lot of poverty, the whole, you know, in the countryside, you know, even in the cities, you know, there was a lot of poverty. Most people were riding bicycles and things like, you know, motor scooters. They still have those things. But now, of course, my wife and I have been to China at least three times. You know, if you're in Beijing, it's as if you're in New York. There's nothing they don't have. There's nothing they don't have now. You know, the best cars, and they make them in China. Mercedes, Jaguar, everything. But I don't want to get off, you know. Let me stay on course. Now, what happened was this. Deng Xiaoping realized that this communism and all that, and so they turned their back on some of the teachings of Mao Zedong. You know, they didn't fight him. They didn't say anything negative. They just, you know, realized that it wasn't working. Then they invited the West, particularly the Americans and others, to come and invest in China. They opened their doors economically. And you know what happened? They came in, McDonald's, you know, Apple, Microsoft, all these computer companies, you know, the Chinese said, come and invest, come here. You know, come and set up your factories here. And gave them very favorable conditions. The rest is history. In the last 30 years, the Chinese economy has become one of the strongest in the whole world. It's only second to America and competing aggressively. They have learned something. If you don't work, you won't eat. Now, they take care of their poor, don't misunderstand me. But they've learned that their people have to be productive. In the last 20 or 25 years, you know what they used to do? And they're still doing it. They would send their children to America. They will send them to Harvard, MIT, CIT, California Institute of Technology, and all the top, Oxford, Cambridge. They will sponsor and give them money from China. They will give them scholarship. They will go and learn everything the Americans know. Then they will now come back to China. And then they start producing factories. There is nothing they make in the West now they don't make in China. And sometimes even better. And you know what? Because they have a large labor force, their production costs are relatively lower. So they can now produce things, you know, at a cheaper rate. Sometimes the quality is not so good, but sometimes the quality is top. My wife and I, you know, were in Beijing. We went to a place to buy some things. So they told us, they said, you can get top quality. You can get,
Medium quality, you can get. Low quality, take your pick. How much are you ready to pay? I'll never forget it. And truly, top quality. Better, as good as anything we will get in Europe or America. And you know what? Still slightly cheaper than what we would get in Europe and America. We stayed in some wonderful hotels. And when we compared what we pay in England and America compared to what we had in China, it was still much cheaper, but the quality was better. The quality of service was better. The quality of material was better. The quality of food was better. And you know, my wife and I made a comment. I said, they have told us a lie. That these people don't know anything, that they are backward. They are not backward. They are first world. We took a train from Beijing to Shanghai. It's a bullet train. It goes on air. It levitates. It goes about 400 miles an hour. It was better than the train from London to Paris. Because I've been on both. Now, the amazing thing is that it's just in 30 years. Because of a change in mentality. You know, the West talk about democracy and all these people are backward and all that. And they have a point in some of the human rights, and there's a lot of that. Don't misunderstand that. And of course, those people still need to get open to the gospel. So I'm in agreement in some of that. But there's some other things that we need to learn. And the Chinese learned. They learned that if you give people motivation and you allow them to work, and you allow them to be creative, and you allow them to be innovative, they will become innovative. So they are producing their own products. They have phones now. You can take an iPhone or Samsung to a place. I forgot the name of it. There's this particular city. I haven't been there, but I've read about it. You know, in China, it's close to Hong Kong. It's towards the south. You know, and in that, they would take the thing to bits. They would take it to pieces, and they would put it back for you. You know what? They took time to study the Americans. Most of the factories of Apple are in China. Because labor is cheaper. But it all comes back to this. When you work and you get money from what you work, you are motivated. It is God that put that thing there. For it is Lord thy God that teacheth thee to profit. Once you remove the motivation for profit, you remove the incentive for innovation. That is why it is a cardinal law of God that you should have an income. So income is one of these streams that water Eden. The second stream is a stream of gifts. God will lead people to give to you. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake it together and run over. Particularly also our pastors, you know, not even just us alone. Even any ordinary person, Christian, you pray, God will speak to somebody and say, oh, go and give him 100,000 or give him a million or something like that. And if God is speaking to you this afternoon, I said that jokingly. Hallelujah. But seriously, you know, so there's a stream, because of time, there's a stream of gifts. Then there are two other streams that are not very popular, that people don't teach and preach about, particularly Christians, because we say we are using our faith. But that is actually, there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, these things, they all require faith, as I'm going to show you as we go along. You know, but you know, our understanding sometimes is so narrow. It's so limited. Oh, you want to use your faith, you just want to sit down at home, you don't want to work. And then you're believing God. God, send me Mercedes Benz. God, do that. All that faith for money and so always winds up in covetousness when you don't work. So there are two other streams. Stream number three is the stream of investment. God will give you wisdom.
as to how to invest money and resources that you have in shares, in bonds, in treasury bonds and things like that. These are things Christians don't think about. And there's great revenue that comes from investments. My wife and I, by the grace and the mercy of God, we're practicing this. We've been doing it for 20-something years now. You know, recently, when I say recently, about 2 or 3 years ago, we were in the business class lounge in Heathrow. We were coming back to Nigeria, and we were, you know, just sharing and everything. And my wife just said, honey, there's this particular shares. It's low now. And I think we should just go and buy a mass of it because it was cheap at that time. I believe the thing is going to go up. She said, I think it will be about this price. I said, well, I'm not sure. So we went online. Right there. We just went online on the computer. It was actually lower than what she thought. I said, God spoke to you. I said, come on, go. Yeah. Immediately we got to Nigeria. We quickly contacted our stockbroker and we bought a whole mass of those shares. This is a true story. Within 6 months to a year, the thing had tripled. Not doing anything. What's that? That's faith. Because who told us to do it? God. That's wisdom. It's God who gives it. The third stream, which is really unknown to many Christians, the faith people hardly preach or teach on this, and it's a very important stream, is the stream of innovation. Everybody say gifts, income, investment, innovation. Say G-I cubed. That way you will always remember it. G-I-I-I. Amen. That's an acronym. G-I cubed. You want to prosper, get G-I cubed. Praise the Lord. Yeah? The rivers of G-I cubed will water your Eden. And your life will become pleasant to the eyes. Only Brother Ibrahim is going to get it. Oh, yeah. Akpemora. Amen. I'm everyone G-I cubed. Praise the Lord. Gifts, income, investment, and innovation. The innovation part, many Christians don't know little about it. And I'll tell you the reason why. I'm going to go more into it in a minute. But I'll tell you the reason why. Because the particular investments and innovation taken together, you know, that's where the really money is. I'm talking about, you know, when you want to go into billions and trillions, the only place you can get that kind of money is in investment and innovation. Particularly innovation. And innovation takes the wisdom of God, but it is only given to the lowly. And the reason why we haven't seen that much innovation in the church is that there's too much pride, too much arrogance. And if they got that kind of money, they will waste it. They will squander it on the lust of the flesh, like Solomon. What happened with Solomon must never happen again. That's why the Bible says, a greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, I heard, it was Pa Elton I first heard say this. You know, it's good to listen to prophets and fathers. I've been reading that scripture for years. I never saw it like that. You know, I think it was me and some of the my friend, late Wale Adekoye, and some other guys. I think we went to see Pa in Elisha. And I just remember he was just sharing and all that. He said, boy, you know how Papa talks. You know, you need to be careful of this American gospel. It's going to destroy the church in the years to come. And he was right. This has actually happened. Everything Pa said. But he now said this. He said, God wants us to be rich. He wants us to prosper. And then he said, but he warned us against what happened to Solomon. You know, Solomon married 700 wives. 300. That's 1,000. One man. What do you want to do with that, for God's sake? The thing is going to kill you. And he killed him. The Bible says, and when he was old, his wives turned his heart from the Lord. That thing so pained God. It's one of the things that hurt God the most inside the Bible. A lot of things hurt God, but that one really hurt him. The Bible says, whom the Lord had appeared to twice. Because Solomon was not naive. He knew God.
God had revealed himself to him. He took the abomination of the Zidonians. The thing is written in the book of Baruch, and put it inside the holy place to please his silly wives. The daughter of Pharaoh, the daughter of this, the daughter, Mary. It was one of those, it was those kind of women that gave him more outlandish children. And one of the things that destroyed Israel. So it's not going to happen again in this end time. God's not going to give innovation to any Christian who, after he gets, is going to waste it on the loss of his flesh. It's not going to happen. You will live and die with gifts and income. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. He wouldn't allow you to go to that level if you don't have the right heart attitude and humility. And so these are the four streams of income. Thanks for this scripture, Bimbo. You're a little bit ahead of me, you know, but it's right. I actually preached this over the weekend at Covenant Christian Center when I took the minister's conference. But I'm going to go into more depth here this afternoon. And so these are the four rivers: the rivers of gifts, the rivers of income, the river of investment, and the rivers of innovation. We'll talk a little bit more about it as I go on. Now, what is the reason for prosperity? There's a threefold reason. Number one, you find this in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 11. If we, being evil, know how to give good things to our children, how much more God? You know, that scripture set me free years ago. You know, when you feel guilty for having good things. Is God a bad father? How many of you want your children to go to school without shoes? Or to be hungry and not have lunch? You know, or all their shirts and their trousers and their skirts will be tattered and all of that. If you, being evil, know how to give good things, how much more will God give? That's why God wants you to prosper, because he's your father. Simple. Amen. Keep it simple. Praise the Lord. And he loves you. Then the second reason, which is very close to this first reason, that this is particularly for those who are in the ministry, God takes delight in the prosperity of his servant. Write it down and settle it forever. You know, people, if you're a pastor, you should be poor. It's the exact opposite. If you are truly serving God, it delights God. It's in Psalm 35. God takes pleasure in the what? Prosperity of who? His servant. How many? Look at Nigeria, for example. Nigeria is a sovereign nation. We have a government. And we have ambassadors all over the world. We have in England. We have in the US. And all that. You know, what image would Nigeria paint if the Nigerian embassy in Washington is one run-down house, one ramshackle place, you know, and a car that hardly starts, and they have to be pushing it? They say, what kind of government? They say, oh, call yourself. Oh, no, magic. The ambassador reflects the prosperity or otherwise of his home country. Every servant is an ambassador of heaven, represented properly. That's why God takes delight in the what? Prosperity of his servant. I could go on and on. Now, I know many of our people have turned this thing upside down and used it for covetousness. I know that. But you know, the fact that some people have misused the prosperity message does not stop us from preaching the truth. It's like saying, because somebody, you know, died in an air crash, then I won't fly again. I'm just going to learn how to fly better and not to fly in wrong weather and obey the instruments. So it is with prosperity. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. There's nothing wrong with God prospering his people, but we should not use it for covetousness. We should not use it for the loss of the flesh, which is what has been doing. So, all that prosperity, I don't want it. It's part of the gospel. Without it, we cannot finish our job. He says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, watch this, except they be sent? You don't send them with words. If you go to British Airways and you say you are going to Beijing to go and preach the gospel, they won't say, you are one of Jesus' people. Oh yeah, enter.
Go first class. This is your ticket. They are not as spiritual as in Jesus' day. Remember in Jesus' time, there was a donkey. Jesus said, go and get this. They said, who wants it? He said, the Lord has need of it. You know, they said it. It's not like that anymore. If you go now, you say, the Lord has need of it. They say, there's something wrong with you. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, no. We have to represent the gospel properly. And it takes money. You travel well, you dress well, you look well. They say, where you come from? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. A proper ambassador. That's why God takes pleasure in the prosperity of all his children and in particular his servants. Settle it forever. This is black and white. This is not revelation knowledge. This is English comprehension. Man, it has been misused. I know that. But it doesn't do away with the truth. Then the third reason, which is probably the most important. These first two are very important because God loves us and he cares for us and for the image that we present. But this third one is even the reason, is what is built on the other two. And it is this. It is the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, that giveth thee the ability. Look at it in King James, then look at it in New International, then look at it in Amplified. You know, to make wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant upon. That's what we need the billions for. You see, personally, you don't need billions. I'm telling you, stop looking at me funny. Praise the Lord. Yeah, what do you need? What do you want to do with a billion naira? How much is the school fees of your children? How much is the house you're going to live in? How much is the car you're going to drive? You know, your personal needs don't need billions. What we need the billions for is to establish the covenant and take the gospel to every tribe, tongue, and kindred. That's what the investment and the innovation are for. The gifts and the income can take care of your needs. That is why you need to always ask yourself a question. It's a rhetoric question, and it's a question for inner introspection. Why am I doing what I'm doing? This money I'm trying to make, what do I want to use it for? Is it just to buy a bigger car? Have a bigger house? Buy a private jet? Even if you want a private jet. No, there's nothing wrong with private jet. Don't say that. Even private jets are going to become common. Talk to your neighbor. Say it's going to become common. Stop making noise. Praise the Lord. Seriously. By the time we're going all over the world, we're going to need private jets. But you see, I'm not getting a private jet for my ego. Ah! Pastor OJ, you need private jets. Praise God. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, spiritually speaking, now I put away childish things. It's for gain to where we need to go that the natural airlines, the commercial, will not be able to go when I want to go. Hey, imagine me on the private jet groaning or praying in tongues. But if it's my private jet, I can do what I like. I can pray in tongues. So all the way between here and China, I'm praying in tongues. Grown, do anything I like. It's mine. That's the reason for it. If you ever get it. And you, God is not going to give all that kind of prosperity, you know, until our motives are pure. A lot of the people who have just a little of that, now they've corrupted it. And they've given the gospel a bad name. Because they've gone out to the people to beg for it. If you get it from innovation and investment, you don't have to beg. You just write the check. Kosh Elemen Gada Franes. You don't have to go and start coming to church. Hey, brethren, I want to buy a private jet. All of you, oh, you have tax yourselves. Everybody gives $77 for 77 blessings. Sound familiar? Alone, Nijarinko Buruku. People have disgraced the gospel. by not understanding. The Bible says this way, the Gentiles blaspheme God's name because of you. I see them on television begging for money. If you can't afford it, shut up. Go and pray. Learn to walk in the Spirit and get the wisdom of God for investment and innovation. Then you will have the money and you don't have to beg anybody. I thank God for His mercies upon my wife and I, you know, over the years, and all the wisdom and the innovations and investments He's given us by the grace. And we've just started. Our best years are still ahead of us. The next 20 to 30 years will be the greatest years we have ever seen. We're not worried now about buying a house or sending our children to school. Our motivation is not for that anymore now. It's to get the job done. That the covenant might be established to help the poor. To help humanity. That's the motivation now for making money. And that should be for you and I. Are you listening to me? Now, how do we do this? How do we get these rivers of prosperity into operation in our lives? You know, the rivers of income and gifts are quite clear. I'm going to focus on investment and innovation. But before I do that, there's a very important principle I want to talk about. And it's the principle of tithes and offerings. Because it is the key to an open heaven. Without the open heaven, you cannot get that level of wisdom that you will need for the investment and the innovation. This is very important. In recent times, there's been a rage in the church about, you know, the people give tithe. What is the tithe? Should you give the tithe to the church? Or should you give it to the widow? Or should you give it to the poor? Or what should you do? I'm going to set you right. The tithe belongs to the storehouse. The storehouse isn't just a physical church. The storehouse is a person. It's the senior pastor. And the pastors. You know why? That is where God is storing the revelation knowledge that they are feeding you with. Amen. That they may be meat in my house. Amen. That's exactly what the Bible says. Hallelujah. There's many scriptures. Because of time, I want to just bring this thing out in a very simple way. Let's first of all go to the Old Testament type or shadow, and then we will now look at the New Testament substance, and then we will now get a holistic picture of what God is saying. Look at Numbers chapter 18. Before I go to Numbers, let's quickly run to Malachi. Malachi is the base scripture. Yeah, Bimbo, you are moving by the Spirit this afternoon. Keep praying for him. Keep praying for him. Bring ye all the tithes. Into where? The storehouse. I'm going to prove to you that this storehouse isn't just an institution. They are persons that store the wisdom of God. Remember Luke 6:45? Do you remember scripture? He said, by their fruit you shall know them. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. So where is the storehouse? His heart. The treasures of wisdom is inside the man. You frustrate the man, you frustrate your treasure. That's why you have to give your tithes and offerings to the church regularly. Then, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read Malachi. All the tithes and storehouse, they meet where? And prove me. You see, that's why, some people have been given and some things haven't been happening. Here now, here we say the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the what? Windows of heaven. We've just seen that in a little small measure. Do you know what it means when God opens the windows of heaven? Floodgates, thank you.
pour you out a blessing.
I didn't hear you.
And there shall not be room enough to, even the blessing will be so much, your bank account, your cannot contain the thing. It will overflow.
Let me keep moving. Am I helping anybody here? They like Pastor Olubi this afternoon. Prosperity. This afternoon is prosperity, not zigzag. Prophetic. They like this one. Praise the Lord. Give me another wave of prayer. You love me this afternoon. Make sure you still love me next week.
Enough to receive it. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Again, this is not only just agricultural fruit, which it was back in those days, but talking about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the reasons why Christians are destitute of the fruit of the Spirit is because they don't give to the storehouse, and the devourer is not rebuked, so they find it difficult to grow the fruit of the Spirit. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time. I am the vine, you are the branches. You'll be bringing off fruit, and your fruit should not be cast before the time. So when you need patience, it's there. When you need gentleness, it's there. When you need meekness, it's there. When you need self-control, it's there.
You know, anytime, you know, for those of you who are in the ministry, and even if you're not in the ministry, you pray and God gives you, if you don't get excited on your own message, don't come and preach it. You know, when God began to download, say, I was shouting where I was. As I heard, they're going to shout in church.
Neither shall your vine cast the fruit before its time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. Verse 12. Now, this part is a part that has not been emphasized. And some nations, and a few nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. There is a level of blessing that is coming to the church that will cause us to be a blessing to all nations, to fulfill Deuteronomy 28. And you shall lend to nations and not to borrow. So all the nations you lend to will call you blessed. Now, let's go to Numbers chapter 18. This is the shadow in the Old Testament. I don't want to read everything because of time. I will pick the ones I want. Let me go up and look at my own Bible. Praise the Lord. All right. No. He's already got the scripture wrong. And I told you to keep praying for them up there. Praise the Lord. Chapter 18, verse 8. Start with verse 8. We're going to verse 14, but let's start with verse 8. It says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron. Now, remember in the Old Testament, Aaron was the high priest, which is a type today of the senior pastor. Then he had sons, the other priests, which is a type of the other pastors. And then they had Levites, which is a type of the deacons. The Levites were the people who carried the ark. They carried it. Whenever they were going to travel, they will unscrew the tabernacle because it was a moving tent. So they will unscrew it, they'll pack all the things, and they will carry it until they get to the next place. So you have everybody say high priest, priests, and Levites. So you know, in the New Testament, that would be senior pastors, pastors, and deacons. That's who God says the tithes go to, according to this. He said, I also have given thee charge.
I didn't hear you.
Of my heave offerings and of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel unto thee.
You can't fight the Bible.
Amen. You cannot. The Bible says, you know, the scripture cannot be broken. Have I given them? Why? By reason of the anointing. Thank God for the Bible. It's clear. I don't know what people are debating about. A
made clear by reason of the anointing unto thy sons by an ordinance for a few weeks, for and forever. Next verse. This shall be thine of the most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meal offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto thee, shall be most holy for thee and thy sons. This is not Olubio. This is, it was written before I was born. Let's keep moving. Praise the Lord. Amen. Next verse. In the most holy place, thou shalt eat it. Every male shall eat it. So there's nothing wrong with the pastors using the tithes and offerings. It's theirs. So out of tithes and offering, the pastor can buy a car. Amen. Yeah, meta. What do? Out of tithes and offering, the assistant pastors can buy a house. It's this human nature, this sin nature that is so selfish and wicked. These people lay down their lives for you. He says, if they have sown to you spiritual things, is it too much for them to reap your carnal things? What's wrong with us? Ingratitude of the highest order. Hey, pastor, use it to buy a car. What are they supposed to use it for? Thank you. One, preach it, my wife. But, you know, by the time I end, you'll see the balance. I know our people have misused this. I know that. But it will not stop us from saying the truth. Next verse. Am I helping anybody here? And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters. So you can use it for your family. This is the truth. By a statute forever, everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. Verse 12. All the best, everybody shouted best, of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them, which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. Human nature, the sin nature is so wicked. They don't want to take care of the pastors. Then they set up a board. The church is not ruled by the deacon board. It's ruled by the senior pastor. It is the senior pastor that gives instructions to the board and not the other way around. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And he didn't write to a board, he wrote to a man. His name is Timothy. And he said that, them that are widows indeed, these are the things you should do. Then he said, the elders that rule well, count them worthy of double honor. Stop. Who determines who is ruling well? Timothy! Who determines how much honor they get? Timothy! Who determines who is a widow that can be taken in the number? Timothy! That's the New Testament substance. I've given you the Old Testament shadow, but that's the New Testament substance. One more verse in the Old Testament, then we'll jump to the New Testament. And whatsoever is first ripe. I mean, I've had dark. in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be. And everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. Verse 14. And every... I told you, I haven't heard anything yet. And everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. The tithes and the offerings belong to the senior pastors, his assistants, and the Levites. And it is them who now decide the distribution process. It is they who now distribute to the widows, to the poor, and all of that. Your tithe does not belong to the widow. It does not belong to the poor. It belongs to the church. Because if you do not give to the storehouse, where are you going to get the covering to be prosperous to help the widow? Say I this as a man? Speaketh not also the scripture? Do you remember Elijah and the widow who was about to? He said, give me first. Was it because he wanted to starve the widow? No. If he didn't give to Elijah, there is no way the widow can be blessed. You don't divert your tithes and offerings to the poor and to the widow at your own discretion. What do you know? It belongs to the priesthood. It is the priesthood that now determines how it goes. That's why I said, if a woman is under 60, say, don't take her into the number. And she must be a widow indeed, having washed the saints' feet. So there's a whole list of criteria. You don't do it on sentiment, you do it on principle. And people will do it on sentiment. Only the spiritual pastors can do it on principle. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Chotin, you are there, yeah. Okay. Now, I'm not done yet. Praise the Lord. I've already hit some of this. Now, there are two scriptures I want to look at in the New Testament substance. I've given you the Old Testament shadow. And some people can argue that, hey, that's Old Testament. But it's the truth. The word hasn't changed. The principles are still the same. But let me give you the New Testament substance. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verses 9 through 15. What I've just read to you in the Old Testament, come and see it. This is Paul in the New Testament. And you know what it says? For it is written in the law of Moses. So we can go to the law of Moses and learn from it. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Pastor Joey was teaching us on Wednesday. The ox there is symbolic of the apostolic and prophetic ministry. They are the ones that do the work that you get the corn that you eat spiritually. He said, you don't muzzle their mouth. Does God take care for oxen? He said, even that's a type. It's a prophetic picture. Type. He said, is God talking about oxen? No! Next verse. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes! No doubt this is written. All the things I read in Numbers, it was written for us. This is the New Testament substance. That he that ploweth should plow in hope. And he that treasures in hope should be a partaker of his hope. Verse 11. If we have sold to you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we will reap your carnal things? Verse 12. Now, this is where the balance comes. If others, I didn't hear you, be partakers of this power or this right or this authority over you, are not we rather? Now watch this. Nevertheless, this is where our people need to learn balance. It's true, it's ours. But we must handle it in such a way as not to allow God's name to be blasphemed. To the glory of God, like my wife and I, majority of the money we put inside the church has come from Lifeford, not from church. Is it not? It is our power. The tithe and offering is ours. We can use it. And we do use it. We bless our pastors and all of that. But there are a lot of things that there's not just enough money in the church. So we have to take from our own money and put inside the church. Now, that's how it should be. So our people can't say you're doing it because of money. That's why the Apostle Paul said, as long as I live, you know, Paul said, I would rather die that anybody will take me this boasting away from me, that I have not received any cover from the churches of Achaia. That is the ones in Corinth. I didn't take a cover from them. He said, it's not because I don't have the right, but so that the name of God will not be blasphemed. And they will not say we are doing it because of money. And the people who say they are apostles, let them copy us. Baba Polo. You know what he said in Ephesus? He said, these hands. Baba Polo. He was a tent maker. That's why wise pastors should have an investment and an innovation stream in addition to what they're getting in offering, so that people can't talk nonsense. He said, these hands have ministered not only unto me, but unto those that are around me. I have coveted no man's gold, no man's silver. And that's how it should be. It's all right. I've read it to you. And it wasn't as if Paul didn't take offerings. He did. He just didn't take it in Corinth because of all the rubbish that they were talking. We'll see that in a minute. Go back to where we were. Yes. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest — that is where our people need common sense. Lest, even when something is your right, sometimes you don't touch it. Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. I said this during the ministers' conference. Paul is the pattern disciple. He is the pattern minister. If you want to pattern your ministry, pattern it after Paul. Not some of these boys in some places. Don't let me mention their names. Don't copy them. Copy Paul. My wife and I have copied Paul. We have a tent-making ministry. We have the life fund. We have our own investments. The school fees of my children, I don't take it from church. I have a right to. You can't say amen, say oh me. About 15, 20 years ago, we bought Mercedes-Benz for all of our pastors in one day. The money didn't come from church. Came from Lifeford. It's not wrong to take it from church. But it's just that in some places, it depends on circumstances and situation. You know, things here are a little bit, you know. So we want to make sure that, you know, you have air conditioner, the light. You know, most of the times an offering here is just used for utilities. Very little is used for personal things, relatively speaking. Simply because the income level in Ibadan, because you see, Lagos, Port Harcourt, Abuja, that's where the oil companies are, that's where the banks are, that's where. So most of the people who you know, the young people who are in jobs and all of that, that's where the income is being generated. And that's why some people go and start a church in Lagos. God forbid. How can I move to Lagos because of money? I remember somebody came to this church many years ago, you know. He looked around. He said, ah, OJ. So Allah only moved the bad or no? True story. Many years ago. Again, OJ. So Allah only moved the bad or no? In other words, you mean God can do this in Ibadan? Is God limited? What's limited is your wisdom. Thank you, Kunle. One amen there. Hello? It's gone kind of quiet here. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 13. Do ye not know? He's writing to New Testament people. That they which minister about the holy things live of the holy things of the temple. In other words, it is the right of the pastors to take of the offerings and the tithes. That's what they live on. Remember, in the Old Testament typology, Levi had no inheritance. Their inheritance was God.
the offerings.
And they we wait at the altar are partakers of the altar. How was your brother?
Verse 14.
Even so has Paul ordained. Has Pastor only be ordained.
Be very careful. The church needs to be very careful. We didn't ordain this.
Even so have the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. That's the New Testament substance of what we read in the Old Testament. Amen.
So it is the whole counsel of God.
Yes.
Set the pastors free, set the church free, set the people free.
I can't give that pastor my money. The man is already rich. I can't damn his son. You know, I got. Pastor Lupi getting back from
you're disobeying God. The best of the oil. The best. You know why? God delights in the prosperity of his servants. He wants them to be a good ambassador. He doesn't want them to be a disgrace to the kingdom. What glory is it if your pastor is poor, his children don't have food, they can't live a good life, they don't live in a nice house, they don't have a... What witness is that? May God help us repent of the wickedness of our hearts. And because some people have abused it, does not change the truth.
For the same principle, the Lord directed that those who publish the good news should live, get their maintenance by the gospel.
Amplified Bible. Q-E-D. Like they say in court, I rest my case.
It's clear. So never take your tithe and offering and go and give it to the poor or to the widow or to somebody. That is extra. The tithe and offering is for the storehouse.
A good man out of the good treasure of his house. That's the storehouse. Bring forth good things. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where is it? It's inside the heart. So that's the storehouse.
Philippians 4:19.
No. 4:18.
Anytime I go to Lagos, I always tease them. The first time I heard that thing was in Lagos. I just said, brethren, let's turn to Philippians for everybody just chatted 4:19. It was about 25 years ago. I laughed my head off. He said, God, I'm having 4:19 here. You know.
No. So this is 4:18. Praise the Lord. It's not 4:19. Amen.
No, but the point. No. Don't go to 4:19.
Praise the Lord. I have all and abound. I'm full. This is Paul talking. Watch this. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, it was the offerings of the Philippians that made Paul full. He didn't take from the Corinthians, but he took from the Philippians. Watch this. Which were sent from you, the odor. Remember, it's going to the Old Testament now. Yeah, this is the New Testament chapter. He quickly runs to the Old Testament to get the shadow to explain and give. You know, in those days, they didn't have any Old New Testament. So they had to prove everything from Scripture. So he now quickly goes there and says, from you an odor of a sweet smell. Like what they used to do when they used to burn the animals. A sacrifice acceptable. Shout it.
Only the pastors are shouting it. Pastors don't say anything. I in Yoku.
Well pleasing.
When you give to your pastor, when you pay your tithes and offering, and there is enough money, the pastors can go on holiday, their children can go to good schools, they drive nice cars, God is happy. And incidentally, just to really, really, really straighten your head out, it is not your money.
I'm not giving my money to them.
It's not your money, it's God's money. And if you keep it, you're a thief. I'm going to repeat it. It's not your money. The tithe and the offering belongs to God. And when you keep it out of fraud, you are a thief. Many pastors all over the world are suffering because God's people are stealing. If people would give their tithes and offerings promptly, regularly, cheerfully, and completely. No one where you give them. I give them 10,000 today. Mama, she okulola. God understands. Olenia. It's the truth. Bible says, you know, yes, you have robbed me, all these nations. So, from where have we robbed thee? In tithe, not only tithe, and offering. And so there's not enough meat in my house and my ministers are struggling. He should not be thinking about school fees. He should be thinking about what he's going to preach in church on Sunday. Financial pressure is a distraction. And the ministry should not be subject to that distraction. We should have what Paul said. I have all abound and I'm full. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I'm going to close. I'm closing with innovation. I know everybody wants to hear that. You see, I laid the foundation of tithes and offering because it's so important. Because without it, the windows of heaven are not open. It is the windows of heaven that are open that release power and life from heaven that will give wisdom and revelation for investment and innovation. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. I said this during the Bible study. Now, let me go to the plus and I'm going to close. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 11 and 12. And then we'll jump to verses 17 to 21. And by the grace and the mercy of God, I will close. Remember, I'm allowed three finalists. So this is number one. Praise the Lord. Now, Proverbs chapter 8. Now, this is, you know, I've been listening to prosperity messages for 40 years. I've listened to all the great men. I have hardly ever heard anybody preach from this. I didn't say nobody has. I'm saying I have hardly heard. It takes faith to get this. So when I say I'm using my faith, doesn't mean I'm being lazy and idle. I use my faith for prosperity. This is it. When I now use my faith, I speak God's word. My God will supply all of my need. And I pray in tongues. And when I pray in tongues, I speak mysteries. For he that speaketh not, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. This is where the investment and the innovation come in. I, for wisdom, is better than rubies. If you have money, it will finish. But if you have wisdom, you will keep creating wealth. It's a higher level of prosperity. And that way you don't have to start beating people over the head. The reason why we beg, you beg on television, beg for money, beg for this, beg for that, because we don't have wisdom. If we have wisdom, we'll create the wealth and we have to beg the people for it. I'm not talking to anybody here. Wisdom is better than rubies. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Verse 12. I, wisdom. You can personify it to be Jesus. The Bible says Christ is the wisdom of God. I, wisdom, dwell with what? Prudence. And find out what? Knowledge of witty invention. That is innovation. It's God who gives it. The other day, I was thinking about Uber. Remember, no Uber, the taxi. Why didn't anybody think of it before? The guy has no overhead. The car is not his own. The servicing is not his own. The petrol is not his own. I was talking to a Uber driver in London just a few weeks ago. So, it was a Nigerian guy. I think it was Pastor Wale and I were going to, and Mommy and I too were going to, I said, how much did they give you? He said, Uber takes only 25%. We take 75%. Can you imagine? It's a good deal. Win-win. But when you multiply that 25% in 1 billion places, all he did was create a software. It's called innovation. There are things like that in your field. God will show you. Amen. Dr. Williams quickly received it, and Prof. Kola wanted to receive it. It's true. There are still a lot of things. Just an idea. And all we're talking about, when did Uber start? 2013, 2012, somewhere like that. Look at it. All over the world. You know what the guy did? Unknown to him, and his God's mercy and sovereignty, he has blessed all the nations of the world. You go to China, there's Uber. You go to Afghanistan, there's Uber. Even Nigeria, there's Uber. It's true. Just an idea. How many ideas are sitting like that? Latent. But God said, if I show him now, my physical chieftaincy title. Yeah. And he won't marry one, or he'll marry about 10. And say, in the Old Testament, even Abraham and David, God understands. And there's something about money that makes the heart lifted up. So until you deal with your character, there's a certain level of wisdom that will not be given to you, and you will not have a certain level of innovation. It's not a curse, it's a fact. Jump to verse 17. Knowledge of which inventions? I love them that love me. Who's talking? Wisdom. And them that seek me what? Good morning, Jesus. Everybody say, good morning, Jesus. Early. Why do we want the wisdom of God? We want innovation. Get up early to pray. Good Obakwani. But seriously, good morning, Jesus gives you that. It's a platform where you learn to develop and exercise your spirit by virtue of the corporate anointing. Get up early and you pray in the spirit like Jesus prayed with strong crying and tears. Out of that, and then you continue your prayers after Jumon Jesus, you do your own prayers, during the week and all of that. You know what's going to get you? You're going to start getting wisdom. Amen. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. In other words, those who don't seek me early won't find me. Corollary. Amen. Amen. Hello. So amen. But you're in on here. Whether you say amen or you don't say amen, so it is. If you don't seek him early, you won't find him. You can now understand why Christians aren't getting wisdom. He says he will instruct you in the night seasons. He says, I have kept my eyes to meditate upon thee in the night watches. You see, true blessing in Christianity is not for lazy people. It's not for idle people. It's for disciplined people. It's not for the children of God. It's for the disciples of God. Ouch. Ouch. Every Christian is a child of God, but not every Christian is a disciple. The word disciple comes from the root word discipline. Children will have food and raiment, gifts and income. Get? Amen. You want innovation, you want investment, you have to move from being a child to becoming a disciple. Ouch. They don't love me anymore. Oh, love me more. I wasn't expecting this kind of prosperity message. I was expecting that, you know, you are going to call us out and we are going to come and give, and you put anointing all on our head and give us breakthrough. Sorry. That is all lies. This is the truth. Amen. Verse 18. Am I helping anybody here? Riches and honor. I love this. Are with me. Yeah. Durable riches. It means that there's a riches that's not durable. There is one that will fly. It will fly away. But there is one that will stay. It's the one that wisdom gives, because it's the wisdom that is creating it. You give it out, the wisdom will create another one. You give it out, the wisdom will create another one. So it is durable riches. But watch this. It is qualified with righteousness. Not this 419. Not this deceitful riches that we see in the church today. Durable riches and righteousness. Next verse. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Next verse. I lead. Look at it. Look at the intricate into how prosperity and riches is intricately interwoven with righteousness. That is why you can't be doing 419. You get a contract for 10 million. You go and write 20. Simply because the governor is your friend. Hello. And you come to church and give testimony. Praise the Lord. See how God has blessed me. Don't forget, they are looking from heaven. You can fool the people, but you can't fool God. Durable riches. I lead. How many people want to be led of the Holy Ghost? Especially for prosperity. If it is not righteousness, don't touch it. It's not God. I lead in the way of righteousness. In the midst of the paths of judgment. Or you can say equity. Verse 21, second finally, that I may cause those that love me, those that get up early, that seek me, that go in the way of righteousness, to what? Inherit what? Really money? Real money. We're coming to it. You know, I just finished my PhD. And God's given me some ideas. There are some things I'm working on. And I'm trusting God. Amen. We're going to have so much money, we won't know what to do with it. Correction, we will know what to do with it. Amen. We want to go to China, we'll go. It will no longer... My wife actually prophesied this many years ago. You know, she's talked about the Midas touch. The hour is coming and now is. Where we will not ask how much is it. We will just say what needs to be done. And the money to do it will be there. Those that love me to inherit substance. And what? I will fill their treasures. How many people want this? Well, fulfill the conditions. Seek him early. Have a humble heart. Pray. Walk in the spirit. There is no magic anointing oil. No magic prayer. That one man's God and everything is just going to happen. You have to walk in these things. For this level of prosperity. That's why the church doesn't have much money. You put the whole church together, Catholic, Anglican, Scripture, Pastor, Redeemed, you know, Winners, Kedekoplan, put all of us together. You know, some people can write us a check of 50 billion and say, shut up, stop making noise. Hold on, Shanua. And yet, the Scripture says we will be head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. It means we're doing something wrong. This is the time to change it. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do it properly. Let's do it the way God designed it. I've made it clear to you. Like the Apostle Paul said, you know, I have preached, I've declared to you the whole counsel of God. On this prosperity message, this prosperity truth,
in this message on rivers of flow, I have declared to you by I yet not I, but the grace and the mercy of God has been with me. I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. So you know this Luke 6:38 prosperity is only gifts. It's just one river. There's still others. And it's limited. You know, a person can only give you, if someone's going to give you something, he can only give you what he has. So I'll say it this way. Giving is only distribution of wealth. Innovation and investment is creation of wealth. Giving is important. Let's continue to do it. And it's from giving, some of the money we get from giving, we put in investment, we put in innovation. In your presence, we are content. We are content. In your presence. Your presence, there is light. Expressions of your love. Your presence, we now bring. We're in the presence of, in your presence. Sing it to him. Your presence. In your presence. We are content. There is light. Expressions of your love. Revelations of your power and might. Your presence we now bring. Song offering. We're in the presence. Glory to God. Revelations of your power and might. In your presence we now bring song offering. We're in the presence of our King. In your presence there is light. Expressions of your love. Revelations. Revelations of your power and might. We now bring this love song offering. Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God as we respond in faith to this message. We're in the last quarter of 2019. And from here we're going to 2020. It's a new decade. My wife actually mentioned this at the New Year service. What we're doing in 2019 is going to lay the foundation for the next decade. In this new decade,
we are going to see great innovation and investments come into the church. What you are doing now will prepare you for that. God is watching. For the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. This is the time, brethren, to set your house in order, so to speak. Talking financially now. But it's all interwoven. You can't talk about finances and not talk about prayer, walking in the Spirit and righteousness. They're not divorced from each other. The whole system works together. There's a time. We're going to pray in a minute. You talking and say, God, I want to be a part of this. And by your mercy and grace, I will seek you early. I will walk in righteousness. By the Spirit. Not by, you know, legislation, not by, you know, human methods, but by the Spirit. And you will give me your wisdom, the knowledge of which inventions, and I covenant with you, I will not be like Solomon. Tell God, I'm going to pray in a minute, but I want you in yourself, I will not, by your mercy and grace, I'm going to be faithful, I will use the majority of that thing for your work. I will help the widow. I will help the fatherless. I will help the poor. And I will finance the gospel. I'm a pastor to the glory of God. But my wife and I, we finance the gospel. I don't only give to this ministry, I also give to others. I can't say, oh God, I'm a pastor, everybody has to give to me, give to me. Now, of course, people give to me. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, I also give to others. That's how it should be. Say, Father, I confess my sins, sins of lack of knowledge, sins of greed, of covetousness, of narrow-mindedness, of selfishness, of wickedness, particularly towards the ministry, towards the pastors, and to those in authority in the church. Not wanting to give to them because I think it is my money. Oh God, I'm sorry. I confess our sins and I clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Today, I change my mind. I change my mentality. I recognize that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. And so I will give cheerfully, completely, regularly, completely of my tithes and offerings. I will not steal from you, so that there will be meat in your storehouse, and your servants will not be distracted because of money, but they will have enough, they will abound, they will be full, so they can concentrate on the work of prayer and the ministry of the word, so they can be effective priests, effective ministers that will feed me with their spirits so I can grow spiritually to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I also covenant with you to seek you early. To pray. To walk in the Spirit so I can receive fresh revelation, fresh knowledge of witty inventions, creating great wealth that will be used for your glory to disciple the nations and so close this age in Jesus' name. Let us pray in the Spirit. Mercy, Lord. Lombre de les, tolomoros,
In Jesus' name. Mommy, let's share the benediction.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Sanjay, say you have the rivers of prosperity flowing into your Garden of Eden. In Jesus' name. Amen.